Hello, my name is Aaron Sparks and welcome to 42 Foot, a circus podcast.
Where are we?
You've done a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like? Well, first of all, is that an act of choice?
To do a lot of stuff?
Yeah. When I say a lot of stuff, I mean like you've done a variety of different projects, different styles, different kind of contexts.
Yeah. No, it's not a thought. I didn't finish schooling and go, I'm going to do lots of different stuff.
Right.
I guess it's more nature than plan.
Yeah, you've just gone along.
Organically stuff goes in the way it goes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there something that you wish you'd done? Or something that you wish you could or will do?
Definitely.
What kind of things do you think you would like to do?
I wanted to do more things with other people. And now I'm doing things with other people. I want to do more on my own. That is literally what's going on in my head at the minute. It's nothing to do with not wanting to do what I'm doing. It's more to do with just going back to doing solo again. Because I think I did a lot of solo things. And then I went into doing more group stuff. And I think working with Gandini just turned a switch somewhere in the brain that went, oh my God, there's more hands, more options. Sure. There's so many, you know, that you can apply things to like more people. And that's great. And I still really like that. And I haven't even come near to fulfilling the things I'd like to do with that.
Yeah.
But I do have an urge maybe for some years on, once a few things are done, to do solo stuff.
Yeah, go back.
Again, I'd like to do like some solo work.
Yeah.
That's one thing. The other thing is I'd like to do some more other disciplines as well, but I don't know what that means yet. I'm not sure what that means.
That's surprising. The solo thing, I can kind of, you know, if I worked, I could predict that.
Yeah.
But
no, I don't know what.
Thing, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think. Well, I'm starting. I've always been really focused on balls, and I'm starting by. I do a little bit of rings. I don't do much, but I'm pushing clubs in terms of like technique and da 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 da. And starting to do a bit the same with the rings, but I feel like for me, one at a time is better. But also I'm doing a bit more, I'm going back to other things that I did before, like I got out crash mats like a month ago, it's just before Christmas, and was like, okay, let's do a somersault. And it's been ages. It's been so long. Like, for you, I'm sure it's the same.
Yeah.
And I think partly seeing the David Dimitri show and seeing someone of his age doing the things he was doing made me kind of go, come on, like you can keep things going if you have a maturity in your practice. It doesn't take that much effort. You don't have to be like, and you don't have to be amazing. I'm not wanting to be an acrobat, but I like the idea of try to keep a few different things that over the last years I haven't even thought about doing any acrobatics or handstands or any of this stuff, and I'm starting to sort of ease it back into my practice.
So that show really made you question that sense of like age, really. Right?
It was just so beautiful to see an old man doing these things. It was like, he did the best tight wire routine I've ever seen. Like, and he's in his 50s. He did a perfect front somersault. I mean, he did a perfect back somersault as well, and then a perfect front. And he walks on a treadmill on his hands. He drops a weight onto a teeter board that he flies off and does a somersault. He does acrobatics without the kind of acrobatics that you could imagine that you can keep doing until you're, you know.
Yeah,
He's not pounding himself, but he's still doing the things, but he's made decisions, and he also exits the tent on a high wire, and he shoots himself out of a cannon onto a rope, and he just does all these little different things, but they're all like virtuosic in their own way. So he walks on his hands on the treadmill like he's been doing it for 30 years. The same way he walks on the tight wire, like he's been doing it for more than 30 years. So it's all done very, very, very well.
Yeah.
And refining. I'd like to have some other refined things that are not just juggling as well. And things that keep, because I've struggled with injury stuff. And yeah, and so one thing that keeps all of that together, because juggling for me doesn't appear to be a particularly healthy pastime in terms of the body. I don't know why, but I think it's to do with my old style of training, which was much more find one thing, do it for 8 hours, get up and do it for 8 hours again the next day, get up and do it for 9, and you do that, you yourself up. Because that can mean standing on the same leg for a long time, or not really warming up and chucking your head around doing head rolls and things, so that kind of stuff, or repeatedly the same motion with one arm or whatever. And I think that's been a big issue for me. And if you do things like some handstands or some more conditioning or other bits and pieces and just train in a different way, it's easier to keep going. I guess it's just a bunch of stuff. I've tried lots of different things on a mission to try to fix like back problems, and I've been, the term hypermobility is a whatever, I don't know, what does that even mean, you're mobile, I don't know, but I definitely have certain loose joints and have had problems with like vertebrae moving and discs kind of, not, I haven't fully slipped them, but they've ruptured a few kind of where they herniate to the side. And from what I can gather from my own body, this is basically because I'm not strong enough for the mobility that happens to be in certain parts of my spine. So so just strengthening all that up. And then I found things, I mean, like I did my solo with you guys in the year below because I'd had a back issue. I was bending down to pick up a juggling ball and my back just went digga digga digga. I was like, uh-oh. I think it's all to do with uneducated training that I was partaking in and juggling from a young age and being super obsessed on doing one thing over and over again. I think that's what caused it. So I got into doing anything that I could to help, and I think that started off with doing yoga, and then it moved from yoga into more sports based exercises, and then mixing together those things, and that has turned into just finding the things that work for me. And now I have like some routine which are quite specific, and it works for me, which is mostly mobilization and then some strength exercises as well.
Yeah, but it's like a routine, right?
But
yeah,
I have a pretty set routine. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going through the list?
Yeah. I'm going through a list of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Which kind of just goes through all through the body and it works for me. And I don't know, because everyone's body is so specific, but I've certainly had a few people around me that I see now that I juggle with regularly, and they've sort of absorbed that, and they do the same thing. So it must be good.
Yeah, some good
there's something works. Yeah.
It's just what, yeah.
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 Yeah,
because I'm really interested in kind of routines.
Yeah.
From like warming up or like what you do for breakfast. I genuinely find it. It's basically how you spend your time.
It is. Yeah. That's.
So here's a question. Your life is pretty varied, right? Mm. You go from being in London for a week to being on a beach to researching in a random theatre to working on a farm on a juggling piece. Like,
yeah,
you do a lot of varied things. You're never necessarily in the same place for any length of time. How do you kind of stay together? How do you kind of keep sane?
Big assumption. I don't know. I think it's good. I think it's good for me to keep moving. Kind of think it's good for everybody, but then it's difficult. I don't know, to project that onto other people is very difficult, but for me it's definitely good to keep moving. I'm really happy to be in London when I've not been there enough, and then you really enjoy it and you make use of the time. And training can get it can get dull if there's nothing interrupting it, and performing the same for me can get dull if there's nothing interrupting it. So I just like doing different things. I don't like having all my eggs in one basket. It makes me nervous. So if I'm feeling like everything relies on this one thing, then that makes me nervous. But if I feel like I have too many things to do, I'm equally nervous. So probably just slightly nervous.
Your threshold of, getting nervous for too many things is most people would be maxed out way before you.
Yeah.
From what I see of you.
Yeah.
That's a subjective judgment, but yeah. You seem someone who kind of is very flexible in life.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, I don't want to get too psychoanalysis on it and making it up, but like your upbringing is quite different to a lot of people, right? You grew up on Sky.
Yeah, probably. Sort of, yeah.
I don't know how, I have no idea if that is why we're just, that's just you or anyone.
I think,
like you or,
no, I think it might be a bad thing, yeah. But there's definitely a looseness in terms of constructs of space. I don't know. I think the space that you're in is very important. And I grew up with a lot of space, even for someone that grows up on Sky. I grew up with a lot of space because of the position of the house that I lived in, which is just doesn't have houses around. So I grew up in that.
Yeah.
A lot of space and a lot of kind of, I guess, a lot of safety in terms of what I mean. I remember coming to London and seeing kids. I nearly got hit by a rocket, a firework in Victoria Park. In London Fields, I was cycling my bike through London Fields, and this, they love to fire fireworks horizontally across the park. I didn't know this, but, and one went in front of my front wheel, and I was kind of angry, and I thought, oh, and then I realized, I'm only angry because they're doing that here, in the middle of a park, in London, and actually I would have done that at home, and nobody would have ever noticed, because I would have thought, oh, it's fun to fire a rocket horizontally. I mean, supposed to go that way, let's send it at 90 degrees. Do you know what I mean? Like, that would have been a fun thing to do, or go and make a fire, burn something. I remember taking bullets from a friend's dad's gun, like, and just chucking rocks on them and smash them, like, make the bullets go off and stuff like that. But nobody ever sees this stuff. Nobody. Or other dangerous things that you could do that people don't see, so you don't get in trouble. And in the city or built-up areas, you're seen as being bad, and because you're disrupting other people.
I mean, I guess that does also depend on the intention. Like, those kids might have been aiming the rocket at you, which
they might have been.
But you don't know.
But you don't know.
That's the point.
So I guess I had a lot of space.
Yeah,
I think that's my point. I had a lot of space around me, and time without having the lots and lots of people around. Loads of time without having lots of people around, which is good and bad. I mean, I was desperate to leave the island. Like at 17, I was gone. I tried to leave when I was 16, and I failed. No, I broke my arm and then realised that what was I going to do? I wanted to go and do sports coaching, and then I thought, oh, I can't do it. I've got a broken arm. Okay, whatever. I'll do another year of school, and then finish that, and then and then and then got the hell out of there. Yeah, I'd had enough. It was just like, it's a lot of space, but it's too small.
For that age, particularly.
Yeah. For that age, it's not. Yeah. It's not the one. Yeah.
And so, how long have you been in London? You've been in London.
Been in London for 14 years.
Yeah, 15 years. Yeah. A while.
Yeah, quite a long time.
London's changed. Well, the area of London that you've lived in has changed a lot. Hackney is
like unrecognizable. I took a taxi from King's Cross to Broadway Market. I didn't know where Broadway Market was or what that was, and moved into an apartment there with Lauren. And Broadway Market was just such a different place. The other side of London Fields was like, ooh, that's dodgy, you know. It was like, that was like an edgy place to go. Yeah. With kind of the Hackney Central and Murder Mile continuing up there, and now it's just so trendy and safe, and it's not that at all.
It's almost touristy.
It's like, and I mean, I live in prime real estate.
You wouldn't know it,
but I mean the warehouse, the Hive, is like, yeah, yeah. It's in Hackney Wick, and from my first memories of Hackney Wick was going to the end of the 26 route with, I don't know if you remember, yeah, you will remember Simone, the handstand one. Going, the Napier pub was squatted, yeah, next, which is the Hackney Wick, yeah. Going there, and they were having like raves in there. And that was Hackney Wick, and you would never like pay to live there. But now it's like, it's just nuts. It's totally nuts.
I would imagine it's of that time period, of that decade or so, it's probably the most changed place in the UK.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
I can't imagine many places.
And at the moment, it changes so quick.
Still.
Unbelievable. I go away and I come back and they've just started a new building, or they put a new building up, or there's a school going there, the universities are all moving in there, it's crazy. A new bridge, it's now connected to Stratford,
which is all different
as well, yeah. And I actually think that they're doing quite a good job, and that's probably, a lot of the artists in the area would not say that, but I think they're doing quite a good job.
Yeah.
That's very controversial for the artists in Hackney Wick at the moment, because people think, oh, they're destroying our creative spaces and they want to put up a bridge and connect this up. Which is all true, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
I mean,
keep it crappy for no reason. Like,
it's like, it's change, and I like the change. That's really difficult.
I mean, I'll tell you mine. And then
yeah, go on.
Mine is that I'm sort of playing a double-edged sword. I wish that I hadn't had such a clear, like, I want to do variety strongly. I say that with hindsight, though. Because
I always admired that. I thought that was great. I saw you go through the school, and I thought that's great. I guess one thing that concerned me at the time was that I thought you could be doing something better than, yeah, because of my personal taste.
Of course.
That's all.
Yeah.
For the amount of effort that you put in, but you ended up with the correct thing for you, what you wanted to do. So
yeah, yeah,
I always admired it because it was a very clear, and it was totally different to my approach, but it was a very clear way of going, I'm going to do this, and you did it. So
yeah, and that's why I say it's double-edged sword, because I definitely agree there is something good about having a goal and getting it.
Yeah.
The other side is obviously I missed out on certain explorations and certain avenues that now I'm interested in.
Yeah.
But I think, like, so I do regret that for sure. But I also acknowledge that it fed me for a few years, and I did it, so it's good. So
yeah,
I do regret it, but not, you know, I don't wake up in a cold sweat going,
I want my time back.
Definitely not, but I do equally regret being maybe quite so prolonged.
Yeah. Well, I guess I could say that I think the only thing that really springs to mind is an attitude. There's an attitude towards learning which is like not good, and that is when you have the, I don't know, if you're not constantly thinking like you're learning, then you're not learning. So if you're in some moments, I think I didn't do things because I hadn't done them before, or because I wasn't good at them, or because, and so a little bit with, probably with mixing with props, different juggling props, because I was safe inside of balls, and I'd done it a lot, and I just never had owned clubs, so I didn't juggle them. And then I think this probably relates a little bit to ego. You kind of go, oh well, I've had many years of ball juggling, and so it's hard to be a beginner.
So it's that adversity to be hard bad at something.
Well, exactly, and it's hard to be a beginner in something you don't consider yourself as a beginner at, because you put the two things together. And for that, I think I slowed down progress. I mean, I was still making progress in other things, but I was happy to be a beginner at slack rope because I had the beginner's mind. So I had a learning mind, but let's just take club juggling as the example.
Yeah.
I wasn't, in hindsight, applying a learner's mind to it because I wasn't seeing myself as a beginner. Whereas now when I go to do a little club session, for me now is like a holiday, because it's not really related to anything I'm thinking about performing or whatever. And I definitely have a learner's mind. And maybe it helps that there's no one else in the room. There's lots of factors and that can help. And I think I've got through all of that kind of...
Yeah, that ego
is... I think I've got through all of that, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm much better at learning. Yeah, that would be my regret, is to not have burst that bubble quicker in my life, to be able to be a beginner at everything. Like, pick up three balls and be a beginner again, like every single day.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I wish I'd done that from the age of, 20, begin the cycle space, and really be able to just be a beginner. Yeah. That would have been my main regret. The questions at the end are hard. I think one of the things that at the moment, maybe it's because it's fresh for me, but I'm very proud of the way that I have dealt with things that have stopped me from working, and the way that I've used the time when I've not been able to work. And I think that comes a little bit back to the thing that I regret of having not being the beginner's mindset, but actually also, like we said earlier, I've been unlucky with injuries or whatever. Maybe I haven't been unlucky. Maybe I'm just not paying attention, and that's why I fall over and break my arm. So, you know, this is also possible. And I have been thinking that, you know, daydreaming has its downsides, because I think most of my acts, I've never hurt myself doing anything dangerous. And at some point when you have broken both your wrists three times each, you need to start thinking, why do I fall over so much? And I know, and I now I think I know why, because it's always in a moment I'm daydreaming. I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm cycling my bike, I'm not paying attention, I fall off. I'm running downstairs, I'm not paying attention, I fall. It's only once I can think I slipped on wet ground, and then I could say that wasn't my fault. But the rest of the time, I always said it wasn't my fault. And actually, it was, because I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking about something else.
Wow, that's quite a deep insight to sort of be aware of.
Yeah, and then in the...
I mean, I'm sure it's not necessarily... necessarily as cut and dry as it's my fault, it's not. Like, there's probably degrees of, like...
Yeah, but it's not just bad luck. It is bad luck, but I think...
No, it's not, like you say, it's not just bad
luck. It's not just bad luck.
Yeah, there's a grey area.
And it's I've labelled myself to others as unreliable, which kind of bothers me, but it bothers me equally as I also am not that bothered. It bothers 50%. It bothers me.
It's not ideal.
It's not ideal, but that's the way it is, and I get it.
Yeah. So then, but you're.
But my point was that I'm very happy of a couple of situations where suddenly working life has come to a halt for months and months on end, and actually having used. Those are usually the moments when I've gotten into something quite strong, something that's really kind of lived on. And one of the last situations was I broke my arm. Not the last time I broke my arm, but one of the times before when I broke my arm. And I was just so pissed off that I couldn't juggle. I was so pissed off that I'd lost the work with Gandini that I hadn't been doing for that long, you know. I was so pissed off that they were doing the stadium show thing, I'd lost that, and it wasn't the first time, and it wasn't the last time. But I decided, okay, let's get into other sides of juggling, because juggling was really, like, strong thing was. And so I got into the multi-person pattern stuff because I thought, you might think you can't do that very easily, but you can do it. It's like it's something that you can clearly think about without doing. I guess you can do that with your solo juggling as well. Maybe it's just like more the numbers side of it, though, or the patterns, or the how do I think about patterns? How do I write patterns down? And so I just started to study a little bit of...
To really push you in a theoretical...
Yeah, really push, because I'd done a little bit of theory stuff previously with, mostly with Luke, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I sat down and watched, like, social site swaps, and then I was like, this preacher stuff is interesting. So then I read the papers that I think were on one of the... Is it Passing Zone? One of these websites, anyway, there was like the paper that Christopher Prisch had written, which was like how to augment a pattern into multi-person patterns. And I kind of pushed my way through that, and then some other discussions with people who knew what they were talking about, like Sean. But that thing was something I could do in my head. I didn't need to be juggling, and then so that was great.
Yeah, I mean. It is pretty impressive. You've had so many kind of timeout sessions.
Yeah.
And come back. Because I imagine not everyone will be able to do that. It's just a tough thing to do, right? Like.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. You have to find something to do.
Yeah.
And you can. That could be totally different. But for me, it was always. I mean, I did try to do everything. I remember going and tried to do some. Lessons in like French classes or stuff, but it never stuck, you know, other things. But generally, if you do what you're interested in, it stays. So it's like rather than do something that you're just looking to use up time or whatever. And so the stuff that was related to juggling was so much easier to do. And so, yeah, I really got into multi-person stuff, which got me more into notation in general and more into thinking about patterns. In a not just, what do we call it, organic feeling way, but actually thinking about them in another way,
yeah.
and then trying them out. And straight off the back of that, I just started to try stuff with different people, years later, I'm still doing exactly the same thing. I'm still pushing this stuff with the multi-person patterns, because I think it's a really interesting part of juggling, and I think it's, I mean, you look around at all the juggling videos, there's not much down that avenue going on.
Yeah, it's an area to still be explored.
Yeah, there is stuff, and there's a lot of the organic feeling stuff going on as well, but there's not, other than what Sean does, And then there's people like Denny and stuff as well. But there's not many people who are actually really looking into those into those patterns and seeing what's there.
Which
not in the same way as what I mean, all the posting of solo of stuff course, is yeah, just yeah, yeah. Is just like mental. Yeah. Yeah.
So then kind of finishing up, that leads into like, so what are you doing now? What are the projects that you're working on now?
Show-wise, a show called Gibbon with Jose. We've been working whenever we can for over a year now. And we're going to present 20 minutes at the place. It's part of Resolution on the 23rd of February. And I'm working on another show called Non Sono with Francesca. And that is, it's another duet. both juggling duets. And for that one, we are in an earlier stage, but it's going along fast as well. Both of them are they're not like full time things. I put them in whenever I can, because there's other people involved. Obviously, you know how it is. They're going along like that. My own stuff I'm looking at is just finding new juggling,
collecting
ideas, finding new juggling. And specifically at the moment, I'm looking more at three-person Prisha stuff, because I've sort of exhausted the two-person. And now I'm looking at three-person, because one, two, three! That seems like the obvious order to go in.
Excellent. Yeah, good reason. And then you're performing Smashed.
In and out of Smashed. We've got eight songs. There's, yeah.
You're a busy boy.
Yeah, there's plenty of things going on.
Cool. Anything else you want to get off your chest while we're here? Like, anything you need to say to anyone? Like, advice or anything?
I want
to
thank my mum.
Is anything like, okay, here's a last question. What should I ask you? What's like the thing that no one kind of gets to, and you is there something that I should ask you that I'm overlooking? Is there something that you feel passionately you need to say, vaguely in relation to circus?
Vaguely in relation to circus. Oh man, that's so difficult. Oh man, that's a good question. I think the last two questions were very good, because they were very difficult to answer. And also, the stuff about the process. I'm just telling you what I thought you did was good. I'm not coming up with an answer to your question. No, I don't have a good question to ask.
That's
sorry.
Fine. Question for me? What would you ask me? There you go. Because now I can just ask you what you ask me.
I would ask you, what do you want to do with regards to your regret that you told me?
Regards to my regret of being very narrowly focused on one thing, I am actively addressing it, and that I am now for the last like 4 or 5 years I've been addressing it.
Yeah,
I sort of had this realization as like,
I think that's been what it's been. I've been aware of it.
Yeah.
From the outside, it's been obvious that you've moved into more.
Yeah.
I don't know, different avenues.
Yeah, it's been an active choice. I'm being very aware, because I was at a point where I could probably have really pushed the variety stuff and made financially money and really embraced that work, but actually I wasn't enjoying it as much as I envisioned. So, yeah, the thing I'm doing to go against it is I'm open to making stuff.
Make different stuff.
Make stuff.
Yeah.
But also trying to keep the mindset of learning, which is kind of similar. And what about you? What's in that case, here's the question right back at you. What are you doing to rectify?
I'm trying to learn to juggle clubs.
which are like
an alien object to me. I'm trying to learn to juggle clubs and to do other things as a learner, and to not be too bothered about being good at them. as well. And I think I'm trying to make that lead over into my performing world, because I don't really do it through a love. I do like performing, but I don't do this for a love of performing. Mm-hmm. Performing is a way of making it a viable career in a way. I don't know. I guess I kind of struggle with the performing thing, but I'm trying to apply that to performing as well, in terms of like, that's a huge thing to study as well, and then to go well. I can only get better at performing if I try to, you know, try stuff. So that might mean being crap, which is hard. It's hard to be crap.
Yeah, especially in front of people.
It's difficult to be crap in front of people.
It's easier to be crap in a gym on
your
own.
Yeah. And so, like we spoke about clown earlier, it's a super scary world, but it's very interesting for me. I'm interested. I mean, I didn't shine as a clown in school, let's say, and I never understood when people were laughing. Sometimes it's very funny and I never got it, and it's like, oh, they're laughing at me, all this kind of stuff. I didn't click in it at all during that time, and now I'm much more happy to be probably laughed at as well, and other things. So more happy to kind of to go there in terms of things like clown, but also other types of performance. And that just comes from performing. It's like, and going, oh yeah, I will try that, or whatever it is. And that's been helped a lot by just the people I've worked with, or like, I mean, mostly been working for Sean in the last years. And he seems to quite like throwing people into awkward situations, which is horrible. And then also you realize as well that it's good. Whether it is him saying, oh yeah, you're gonna have to do this in that amount of time.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? I haven't got time. But you have to do it. Or, yeah, he's thrown me in a couple of tricky situations where in the end I would say thank you, but I wouldn't have done it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, yeah, so trying to push myself a bit more, because I generally have not pushed myself in terms of performing and, working and performing. I feel like I haven't pushed myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe everyone feels like they haven't pushed themselves, but
yeah,
I definitely feel like I haven't pushed. Yeah, I haven't pushed it. Trying to push into, try to make stuff, try to perform, try to, do all that stuff. I think I've pushed myself in training.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
But I have not, but I've not pushed myself in try this, try that in terms of, performance. Cool. And also the performance and the business side of stuff and the organizational side of stuff and all the other things I haven't really pushed. So
yeah, but you can only do what you're into, so
yeah.
I think that's
a wrap.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
cool.
Thanks, Chris.
That's good.